Christian greetings to all our brothers and sisters in the Lord and the children. We are so grateful. We greet you in the name of Jesus, the adorable name of Jesus, which is our Savior and Lord. And blessed be the God and Father that He loves us so much, and He comes to us this morning again with His Holy Spirit and convicting us and helping us and strengthening us. Now my message is not on the the coming of the Holy Spirit. But without that, we can do nothing. So we trust that every one of you, as vessels, as temples, brought the Holy Spirit along. Even if he was here already, you know. He's in us. Do we realize the importance of that very thing? That He is in us. He is present. This past week, I was so grateful that God was traveling with me. And I still can't figure out just why this thing, those things happen to us, but I know God is perfect. All His ways are perfect, and so we do not question, but we commit it all to Him. Like Peter says, cast your care upon Him. He careth for you. And so we are so grateful, and I just want to thank God through the words that the King David, in one of his Psalms in 34, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. It is in Him that we live and move and have our being. And so I just ask you, as David did, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. He is for real. David, in his prayer, and Henry's expressions here just reminded me of that, that anything we give to God, what we do with it, He has already given to us. And that's how David felt when he was praying his prayer of thanksgiving, when the Lord, and that was just a little before he passed on, and he was asking the people to give things for the building of the temple, when Solomon will build the temple. David knew he wasn't going to build it, but he was arranging things. And in his prayer, he says, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and on the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thine is the kingdom, and Thou art exalted, O Lord, as head above all. He still is. He's in control. And the cherubims and Isaiah's, the year Uzziah died, the cherubims were saying, Holy, holy. You know, one, there was three of them there, and one said, Holy. And the other one couldn't find a better description for God, and he says, Holy. And the third one says, Holy. Holy is the Lord God. The earth is full of His glory. Do we see His glory? Do we realize where we are in the glory of the great God? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Okay, let's turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to zero in I'll probably read about the whole chapter, but I want to, the key verse for this message is verse 27. Verse 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with water, the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame, without blemish. The church, holy and without blemish. A title for the message, being spotless and wrinkle-free for Christ. Now that involves every one of us. And the instruction that he gives before we come to verse 27, that he might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, Paul starts in here in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. When Christ died on the cross, you would think it was a terrible situation. But I think, according to the word of God, it was a sweet smelling savor to God the Father. When he saw the travail of him, when he died, when he was suffered and so forth, he was satisfied. And that was what caused us to be in the line of being a new person in Christ. That we are blood washed, sin cleansed, heaven bound. We can be. And I trust everyone this morning is in that situation. Sin cleansed. Wonderful. That blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, that sacrifice that he gave himself. And so he had a great desire to do that, even though he also had a desire that it would already be over with before he went to the cross. He told the disciples that. But so walk in love, and let's just simply look at that. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. We as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, loving each other as Christ loved us, I think that will cure a number of problems that we would have as we interact with each other and truly love each other as a brother and sister in Christ. Jesus even mentioned to the disciples a short time before he went to the cross, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. And so, let's just read on. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Foolishness and jesting. And I'm afraid sometimes, and you might not love me very much, but I'm afraid some of this this foolishness and jesting and jokes and so forth and that people are watching on their smartphones, so to say, I'm afraid that's going to have an effect on you people that love to sit there and do that. So God help us. Anyhow, let's let that not once be named among you is what God says here. It's not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. It's because of that, that these things come upon the children of disobedience. But we don't want to be disobedient. We want to truly surrender all to God because of his great love for us. He first loved us, and that therefore we love him. And so he says, be not ye partakers of them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What a blessed thing to have the Son of righteousness, the Son of God, coming to the world, coming to us, and giving us light to walk in the light and not in darkness. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so we go on here in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The Spirit, that Spirit which came as the sound of a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Let's remember, God sees all those secret things we do that are not acceptable with him. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved and made manifest by light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We live in an evil world. We live in a world that is trying to coax all the Christians into their system. Let us beware of the subtle movings of Satan, our enemy. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of fullness and the Spirit of God, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Very, very important advice. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, he brings this in, I believe, because he is going to talk about the glorious church, the glorious bride of Christ, and he's taking using this to make us understand how important it is to be a part of that glorious church when Jesus comes to receive his own and to himself. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. The Savior. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. He loves the church. He loves the church collectively. He loves the little flock that we have here. And he wants the best for them. He wants the best for husbands and wives in their marriage relationship. He wants them to be on the same page, striving for the same goal, moving forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those people that come to church are the small group of a glorious situation in Christ Jesus. Excuse me. For verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so here we have the verse, the key verse there, that he, Christ, might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. In this statement, he is bringing forth the Bible doctrine of church purity. How can be any sin be glorious in the church? Can't be. Can't be. And Christ's prohibition of a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish or any such thing in his bride is so that he might forever be glorious. It might be forever be glorious in him, for him, and to him. A glorious church. Well, a spot or a wrinkle. A spot, and I didn't get all this from myself. I mean, it's not original by me, but I appreciate readings and encouragements from other people as well. A spot could be typifying a more obvious sin, a spot. When we get a spot on our white shirt, usually I hear from Louise, she has to clean it up somehow. How did you get that grease on that thing? It's a spot and it's unacceptable. And I understand. And a wrinkle, well, it would be maybe less obvious, less noticeable. But if there's a wrinkle in my white shirt, and anymore they got all this material that doesn't wrinkle much. But if it does, it's not really dirty, but it shows a darker spot or a shadow, a wrinkle. And so it's not very acceptable as well. When my shirt is, we travel to, and shirt gets all wrinkled up, my wife asks for an iron and gets those wrinkles out of there. And so it is with Christ and in the church. The wrinkles are unacceptable as well. And so it is unsightly to some people. I don't... doesn't affect me as much if my shirt's a little wrinkly. But I understand that the husband's dress up is, if it's not like it should be, it goes to the lady that's taking care of his clothes. And they don't like that laying on them. And so let's be reasonable. So a sinful wrinkle in the spiritual fabric of the church is inconsistent with God's all-powerful and all-righteous nature and consequently lacks his approval. A wrinkle in the church, in the fabric of the church. A wrong action or a wrong word And we certainly want to watch our words, that they be nice and acceptable. And sometimes I remember as a young boy when I made some statements, Dad would say, well, you better watch out how you talk. Watch your words. You may have to eat them sometimes. Keep them sweet. And that's still stands. And so some of these things may not be as flagrant as robbing a bank or committing adultery. But if it does not measure up to God's written standard of holiness, it is a wrinkle and is unacceptable with Him. Let us remember these things. And sometimes we get our own ideas and we're just pretty well firmly set, a little bit like concrete, all mixed up maybe at times, and firmly set. But let us be careful as we move among the brethren and as we try by God's grace to have a glorious church for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to measure up to the standards of holiness. We really do. Ananias and Sapphira, they were members of the church, and they were going to do some real good things, you know, good works, like Dean talked about, our good works. And we will be judged by our works. There's no question about that. I don't know how many scriptures we have in the New Testament where He says we're going to be judged by our works. But they said a half-truth. Yeah, they sold their property, but they kept some of the money back. We're just going to let on like this is all we got, you know. Didn't work. And God had no mercy at that time. They just fell over dead. So telling a half-truth as they did does not line up with God's standard of unmixed truth in the church. And as such, it is unacceptable. When the highest devotion and affection of our heart is not on Jesus Christ or something else, it is an intolerable idol. Our affections and our desires. You know, regardless of how legitimate it might seem, it is not acceptable in the church without spot or wrinkle or any such blemish or any such thing. So the Apostle Paul also in Colossians chapter 3, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Friends, let us take heed. These affections, these things that draw our affection, and we spend so much time. Somebody was telling me the other day that people don't have time anymore. But he said, how much time do they spend sitting before the computer or playing with their cell phones? How much time do they use that? I said, I don't know, but God does. And it's going to affect us if we aren't careful. If we aren't led by the Spirit of God, we're going to have a church that has a bunch of wrinkles and spots. So God help us in this here. And he says, if I could go on with those verses there at Colossians 3, he says, for ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ shall appear, ye shall also appear with Him in glory. That's where we want to be, brothers and sisters. That's where we want to be. After this life, let's consider our end as well. So he says, therefore, mortify your deeds which are on earth. And he goes on there, read it sometime. It's very interesting. It's very instructive to us. And may God help us. You know, life is a bundle of attitudes that may seem so insignificant at times. It's just, what's wrong? But when they are formulated, but when they are not formulated by the Spirit of Christ, they are sinful wrinkles. They trouble our soul and have the potential to produce untold defilement in others. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, you remember back here about 2 weeks ago, Brother Norman was preaching about only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. I certainly appreciate that encouragement for each one of us, and especially myself. That you forget not the things. Before, in that chapter, he was telling them how God worked and the things that they saw and the things that happened and how God worked in their lives. He says that lest you forget the things that you saw and they depart from the heart, from your heart, all the days of thy life. That's really heading into apostasy. Something like that. Teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. You know, the heart, Jeremiah saw this thing, and he wasn't used very nice either. If you read his life story, he said, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God is interested. That's the very thing that God is interested in, is the heart. That the heart would be pure. And I mentioned something about this joking and jesting and so forth. And I must admit, I'm guilty. I have been guilty in the past of using scripture quotations just for joking and fun, and maybe separated some syllable, or not syllables, but some phrases. And I had to come to the point where I told God, I'm sorry. Because that is also joking or jesting in the scriptures, foolish. It does not uphold the sacredness and purity of God's written truth, and is consequently unacceptable in the glorious church that he wants to present him to himself. In a sinful world that we live, it is very easy to become apathetic. What's that word mean? You don't have to answer. The dictionary says it's a lack of interest. It's a lack of emotion and indifference. It's very easy to become apathetic in the So about wrinkles such as questionable thought life, speech, character. That's not all that bad. What's wrong with that? But if it's not based on the standard of God's holiness, it's a wrinkle at its best. It may not be a spot, but it might be a wrinkle. Being as close to the world as we do, we rub shoulders, and sometimes things kind of rub off. But we dare not accept the things of the world, the questionable things. We dare not become used to accept any of its carnality. The Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we may have a problem in discerning what is world and what is not. But let's look at the standard of God's holiness. Yes, in the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said in this, was it this, one of the four part of the chapter, he says, according as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, God had that in mind for you and I before we were born. that we should be a part of that glorious church, the bride of Christ, and someday move into glory on those avenues of heaven. I don't know how it's all going to be, but I know it's going to be all right. And we are also, John says that we should not serve idols, worship idols. John says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And he also says that children, he says we should not have idols, in other words. But one thing that we really appreciate is when people are sensitive to not only the spots that mar the character of Christ and his bride, but also the wrinkles, the little things, the little foxes. I think Brother Norman mentioned that as well here a couple weeks ago, that destroy the vines. But you know what? We are so grateful that God has two ways to which we can clear ourselves and enables every member to be a part of his bride and to be spiritually spotless and wrinkle-free. Number one, there's in the area of our life where we have allowed spots and wrinkles, blemishes. The blood of Jesus was shed for that very thing. We can be cleansed. We can confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is so wonderful. And we have that cleansing blood. There's power in the blood. We must claim the blood. We must plead for the blood of Jesus to cleanse us and to have these spots and wrinkles removed and live very conscientiously and especially in the fear of God as we move forward. We need to pray regularly. The prayer of David in Psalms 139, the last two verses, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any way, wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Wonderful. Wonderful. Secondly, God enables his children to remain spotless and wrinkle-free, totally victorious through his empowering grace. Oh, the grace of God, the riches of his grace that he poured out upon us. And it's Paul had a problem, and he asked God several times to take this away from him. And God says, "My grace is sufficient." Paul was satisfied. So he made the best of that situation in the fear of the Lord. God's sufficient grace can make us more than conquerors over every besetting sin through him that loved us. Yes, Jesus loved us so much. But we must also choose to appropriate this grace in our lives. God doesn't do that. It is our choice to accept the grace of God that he has given. So may we ever draw on the grace of God as we go from day to day and live consistently with the clear standards. I know some of you might not like that word standards, but the clear standards of the Word of God will take us where we want to go. And that's a great responsibility, to live blameless in our lives here. It's a serious one. Jesus said, and I had to think of this verse when Dean was sharing this morning, the light. We must be a light unto the world. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as the bright and shining light of a candle. Having a life full of light, having no part dark, for Christ must be the constant desire and conviction of our heart. So help us, O God. Let us be jealous of the purity. And that statement reminds me in Australia when people actually mocked the Christian way of life, and they told us that the Bible is just some other book, some writer of something. It doesn't have a special place. And my heart was just overflowing with jealousy for the Word of God. So we need to be jealous of the purity of Christ's bride. And it is only as she is pure that she is glorious. As members of the body of Christ, every sinful spot and wrinkle allowed in our lives results of a little less of the glory and a little less of God if we tolerate these wrinkles, these spots, and these blemishes. In contrast, living a God-approved life, having no part dark, but walking in the light, makes us a living testimony of God's incredible beauty of holiness. Did we worship God this morning in the beauty of holiness? I trust that's exactly what we're doing. Worshiping God in the beauty of holiness. The joy of living a Christ-centered life today is unspeakable. Peter puts it like this: it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I hope you're all experiencing that. It's a joy to be here this morning. I know we missed last Sunday. We were with another congregation. And so it's a privilege to be a part of the entire blood-washed, sin-cleansed throng of God's church. His washed body presented to Christ on the wedding day will be far above what we could ever deserve. Oh, to live in the restful presence of Christ where there is no possibility of spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. What a Lord we have. What a wonderful God we have. And so, may we all be holy and without blame before him in love. And that's something that we can be transparent. If we have a struggle, we can go to others and we can share and pray for each other. I think that's what he meant when James talked about confessing your faults one to another. And also, I'm thinking of... I don't know just exactly when it was, this past week. A brother shared some of his thoughts in one of the devotionals we have. And some of you might have read it as well. Their family loved to melt chocolate and then pour it in molds. And some were like flowers and others hearts and whatever sizes and shapes they were. And he says, then molding chocolate, and I'm going to just share this with you in conjunction with the message of being free of spots and wrinkles and blemishes for Christ. He says, molding chocolate candies is a picture of what is meant by conformed. His key verse was, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans, 12. Yeah, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And so we must not be poured into the world's mold. We dare not let the world shape our thinking, beliefs, or practices. The world attracts people to the path of least resistance. Now, I don't know, and I forgot your name, brother. Cody. Cody and his wife are here this morning, and they have chosen a lifestyle different from the world. And, you know, I'm sure there's a, and excuse me if I no offense, please. If there's a culture shock and things to arrange, I'm sure there's challenges. But God bless you for choosing to not be in the world's mode, in the world's mold, if I say it right. The world attracts people to the path of least resistance, and I'm sure this was not the least resistance that you are experiencing, but God bless you. The world urges us to water down our convictions so that we become ineffective for the kingdom of heaven and therefore excused from the glorious church that God is wanting to give his son as a bride. In our day, at home and on the mission field, there is strong pressure for the culture to change the Bible instead of letting the Bible change the culture. Too many people are allowing the world to dictate what is truth. We are to pattern ourselves after the Word of God, not to make the Bible fit a certain culture or idea or interpretation. May we help each other. May we help each other through the perilous times of our day so there will be a faithful church on earth when Christ returns. Oh, may we, brethren and sisters, be a part of that church and forever be with the Lord. Jesus even said in, Matthew, Luke? I think it was in Luke 18:8. He says, will the Son of God find faith on the earth when he returns? I'm sure he will, a remnant. He brought a remnant through the wilderness. And so the Bible will make us different from the world around us. We cannot look to the world to help us interpret the scriptures. Let us rather be molded by God's word, as Paul told Timothy, hold fast to the form or the pattern of sound doctrines which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love, which is in Christ Jesus. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know, the world doesn't really care to have us take our cross and follow him. But that's what it takes. If any man will come unto me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. So may we take heed and truly look at God's standard of holiness and be conformed to him, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attentiveness. Didn't see many of them sleeping. But let's be serious about our life in the church. And what was preached was told to me first, and then those that have ears to hear. Will you kneel for prayer?